Psalm 42, again, we're continuing tonight, as we began last week, looking at my pursuit of God and looking at how we pursue God, what we should be doing, practical steps to take. We looked at last week some misconceptions about pursuing God and how that really, when you look at it, all of us are going through the same battles. We're going through the same things. And the misperception or misconception is that we feel like we fail and we're just not a very good Christian. That's not true. All of us battle that just the same. And so as we looked at that last week, I want to continue here. Psalm 42, notice verse 1, he reminds us and says, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul, notice, thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" This psalmist writes, and again, reminds us of the great pursuit or desire, that thirst we should have for the living God. Now, this great picture given to us, and I love the Bible, especially the Psalms, because they give us such vivid pictures as you read it. But he's talking about that doe, or that one comes down to the creek. Man just pants after, desires after that water. We have those all around us, and there's certain spots on the highway and on the roads around here where they cross over, if you've noticed that before. And my sister was just telling me the other day that she was coming down 66 out of Edgewood, again, heading west, coming back home. She comes down, you got that, you know, the big arrow on the hill there, that old mechanic shop. And she came coming down, and right there, they cross over the highway to get down into the valley there. And she, one sure enough, came right over. Big, it was a buck, I think it was, wasn't it? Big rack on it. Jumped over, hit her car, boom, and just totaled her car. And she got out, and she looked, and the thing was half alive, and she called the authorities, you know, and they came over, and she said, "Well, did I kill it?" You know, and they said, "Well, no, but we went ahead and handled it for you." You know, she was like, "Oh man," she felt so bad. But I thought about that. They're willing to risk, and they don't know, you know, but they're willing to risk what? To get to their water, to the brook. I love that picture given to us here in the psalm. And I thought about that. Boy, how sad of a pursuit that I have often with the Lord. Now, as we continue this this evening, I want you to notice with me a couple of things. First of all, we see the desire. As we saw that last week, we have a great desire, we should have one, to love God. And it starts with a true desire as we look at and understand that Lord, really, He's the one that pursued us first, didn't He? He's the one that came after and sought after us and really pricked our hearts and worked, as we see and read the great story given of the Apostle Paul there in Acts chapter 9, where it says what? He says, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord says what? "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And a meaning of that, that he's been working in his heart, and Paul has been fighting against that, the working, the pursuit of God in his life and in his heart. Now, thinking through this, we ought to have the great desire that's given here in this psalm. He says, "It's my soul pants after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God." I heard this morning, I was listening to the Bible in the car, and one of the particular points that he makes here, he talking about the expectation that he has from God. And he said, "My expectation is in you, Lord." I love that. We expect things from people and from things and from jobs and from other. We expect a paycheck, or you expect certain things from your children or your spouse. You know, our expectation should come from God ultimately, and only really as we seek after Him. You know that. As we soul, our souls thirst and pant after the living God. As we look at this tonight, now there are things in our lives that often we pursue after, and we see that. I jotted down a few verses that came to mind just here just a little bit ago as I was praying about, thinking about the message, and I thought about Proverbs 11, verse 19. "He that what? Pursueth evil, pursueth it to his own death." That's what people do today, don't they? They're pursuing evil. And what's the ultimate outcome of that? Is death. They don't know that. They don't even understand that. Proverbs 13:21. He says, evil pursueth sinners. Isn't that true? I mean, you sin, you live a life of sin. And I've talked to people before. I can't tell you how many times. And they say, I just can't understand it, Brother Tim. Bad things just keep happening to me. And I ask them, well, are you right with the Lord? They say, no, I'm living in sin. And that's true. I mean, evil pursues sin. It just comes after you like a rolling stone. I mean, just coming down the hill. It pursues after you. Unless you make a change, again, you know this, but repenting, turning to God, and getting right. Now, this is what people go after. They pursue evil. They pursue after things. Again, I heard one of the famous athletes just recently say, oh, I get up at 4:30 every morning and go hit the gym. And I work out till about 8 o'clock. And then I go have breakfast. And then when I'm done, I go back about noon, and I work out for another 4 or 5 hours. And then I thought about that. Just to put a stinking ball in a hoop? You're just crazy, isn't it? But that kind of passion and that pursuit, people go after. Why? They want the prestige and the fame and the money. And what a convicting, indicting statement to me as a Christian. Where's my pursuit? Oh, I know it is. Where's my pursuit for the Lord, for the living God, for the living God? Now, turn with me real quick here to Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. I found this very interesting. I was reading through Judges, if you will, Judges chapter 8, the story of Gideon. And he makes a statement. He makes a statement. Judges 8. And verse number 4, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over. That's a wonderful picture in the Bible, passing the Jordan. He and the 300 men that were with him, notice this, faint yet pursuing them. Faint yet pursuing them. Now the story goes here, you know this, he's going over, he's passing over to fight and to really pursue after the enemies of God. And he ultimately is met with a tremendous amount of opposition from his own brothers, his own Jewish brothers. They have opposition. They criticize Gideon, but he's the only one doing anything about the problem. But notice he's faint yet pursuing. He's tired. He says, we're tired, we're weary, we're frustrated, we're discouraged, yet pursuing. Can I encourage you with that tonight? You may be faint, you may be discouraged, you may be frustrated, you may feel like, man, I just can't get on track with this. Work is overtaking you. You don't want to be busy, but you have to be busy. You don't want to have to do certain things, but you have to do it to support your family. And you can't find the time, maybe, for the Lord and with spending time with Him. You've got 1,000 things going. I know all of you. You've got 1,000,000 things going. You've got a family. You've got to take care of situations like Miss Deanne is right now, taking care of all of that mess. In a lot of ways, oh, she's back and forth. And all of you, and I think about that. You know, you may be faint. Let me encourage you, keep pursuing. Just keep pursuing. Do what you got to do. Do what you got to do. Easy to say, hard to do. I know that. But do what you got to do to pursue after God. Can I give you a couple things tonight? I hope to be a help to you to think about. We often maybe struggle in our pursuit for God. We looked at last week, some misconceptions. And this week, I want to encourage you with a few things. About talking about our daily time, our disciplined time of spending time with Him, and the principle number one of quality over quantity. Quality over quantity. Now, there ought to be times of quality time with the Lord. There ought to be times of a quantity time with the Lord, meaning a lot of time spent with Him. But when you don't have all of that time, it should be a quality time. Obviously, you know that. And thinking about the discipline that's directly tied to time, it truly is, and the amount of time I spend on various tasks, it demonstrates what I have disciplined my life to do. Thinking about that. A great pastor of the past, he said this, "This busy world conspires against friendship with God." This busy world conspires against friendship with God, doesn't it? Man, this world's so busy, we're so busy, finding something to do. Sometimes, and you think about it, conspires against our friendship with God and trying to develop our friendship with God. Do you have the quality time? If you don't have a lot of time, make sure it's quality. If you do have a lot of time, then make sure you take advantage of that. You know that. We ought to redeem the time because the days are evil, Ephesians 5:16. We've got to take that time and treat it precious because the days are evil. I think of a second real principle, if you will, of we have a gift. We have a gift given. And it's not because I have to, but because I get to. It's not because I have to, but because I get. I'm trying to help the kids with that a little bit, but thinking about their time in the Word of God and in prayer, and usually it's as often as I do as well, but a grumble and a gripe, you know. Oh, I got to do that again. But it's so boring. You think about, oh, but we got to push through, and I know that, and setting the example. But again, it comes back to the great gift, the grace of God and what He's given to us. It's not because I have to, but because I can. You know, there's people tonight that can't. They want to, but they can't. They have no church building. They have no Bible. We just talked about the Word of God in our Bible Institute, how precious that is. But they don't have a Bible. They don't have any of these things there, or if they did, it was maybe confiscated from them or something of that nature. You know of all that's going on in the world today. And we see that. We see what's going on. And the brothers, I heard just recently that we have over in Ukraine and what they're having to deal with. And many of them have taken their families and sent them over into Poland and other areas like that and left them with family. And then those brothers went back to Ukraine to fight and to help fight, and so that they don't come and burn the churches down, you know, wreak havoc on their church and everything else. I mean, you think about it. Can you imagine that tonight, doing that? That would be crazy. But it's a gift. Notice that. It's because I get to. Hebrews 4, verse 15. I need to read this for you. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, notice, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the door is wide open. Isn't that wonderful? The door is wide open for us, and we know that. The veil is Jesus Christ sacrificed for us. The veil rent in twain, didn't it? Top to bottom, just right down the middle. It's representing for us the open door. He is our high priest, as we talked about already. We talk about that, and we go through and look at some of these things. Again, looking through most of this, we have an opportunity to pursue, not for necessarily ourselves, but for those around us as well. Knowing that Hebrews 11:6, continuing in Hebrews, says that He's a rewarder of them that what diligently seek Him. He rewards us. Think about the goal that we have, the reward that we have. God does not expect us to study the Word and memorize Scripture and spend a large amount of time with Him for nothing, does He? He rewards us. He blesses us. The joy, the peace that comes within us, at least for me, when I read the Word of God, when I study the Word, when I get to spend time with the Lord. Oh, how much more we need of that. Lamentations 3:25, the Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. And Jeremiah 29:13, ye that seek me, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. So we understand that. Seeking God is not the end. Finding Him is the true end. I like that statement. Finding Him. And do you have that goal, the goal involved? Let me say God's prompting in our lives. We have a prompting. I pray that you do. As God begins to work in our lives, we begin to face a lot of the realities of life. We know that struggles and strains of life. We come to a reality that we cannot make it without the Lord. We cannot serve Him. We cannot do what we're supposed to do, at least for me. Well, I cannot faithfully lead my family the way I should without the Lord, without His prompting, His work. And isn't it a wonderful thing to know the Lord? He helps us. Tim, you might want to catch up on a little bit on that part. You might want to focus back. You might want to do a little bit more here because you're about to lose something. You're about to lose a child, if you will, and lose their attention and lose your example with them and everything else. And you think about He's prompting us in many ways. Are you listening? Are we listening? Are we seeking the Lord when we should? Are we finding it easy? Are we finding it difficult? Are we finding it a challenge? And that's okay. God's given us all that we need. Philippians 2:13, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." He's working in us. The fascinating thing is that our Lord and Savior, our God, is working in us. We're the only religion in the world where our God lives within us, right? We believe the Holy Spirit's indwelt within us. And that's why we can come together in a church and have sweet fellowship. Why? Because Spirit answers Spirit or identifies with Spirit, doesn't it? And that's a wonderful thing. And the mark of the Spirit being in a church is unity. Everyone's coming together. Why? We're all the same. We're all the children of the same God. And He's working in us. God's given us all that we need to know Him and to do His will. We've already talked about that. But so we see here, faint yet pursuing. I love that. Faint yet pursuing. Keep going. Keep trusting Him. Keep moving forward, even if it's just inch at a time. Even if it's just a little bit here and a little bit there, a little bit there. Why should we pursue God? Let me bring this next point and we'll begin to wrap her up here. Why do we need to pursue God? We know that. Well, there's a number one, the need for inner revival or an inner fire to be rekindled almost daily. Isn't that true? A daily renewing, a daily rekindling of our fire. This world wreaks havoc upon that fire. That this world around us throws water on that fire, doesn't it? And you're going to face things tomorrow morning. And I'll face things too. And then just that thing that's there to just pour water on that fire. You may try and reach somebody or invite somebody or encourage somebody. You may even try and live right for Christ and determine I'm going to do this and that for the Lord tomorrow, only to see it, dashed maybe. We need an inner revival or an inner fire. Why should I pursue God? Secondly, can I say the need to seek God? We truly need to seek God. We already talked about that. But just going hard after Him, as the Bible puts it. Pursuing after. Thirdly, the need for dependence, true dependence upon Him. If we'll come to that realization that we can't do anything without Him, we're utterly dependent upon Him. That's what Jesus said, didn't He? He said, without me, you can do what? Nothing. Nothing at all. You can't do it. You're just spinning your wheels. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Now we can pursue after Him. We can seek Him. And sometimes we do succeed, but we succeed in the wrong direction. We need and have utter dependence upon the Lord, by my Spirit, not by might, not by power, but what? By my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's a great picture given to us. We often try in our own strength. He says, nope, come back to realize and submit yourself to my Spirit. Let Him work. Can I say fourthly, we need the need for the Word, a need for the Word. Again, just reiterating some things we've already said, but a need for the Word. The Word is so precious. We need to hear the Word. Do you know there's a period of time in the Old Testament, as you are reading your Bible through right now, I'm sure you're going through that, there was a time when there was no Word, was there? There's no Word. For over 400 years, the intertestament period, there was no Word. Can you imagine that? No Word. Nothing from the Lord. There was no prophet speaking. There was nobody out on the corner. Thus saith the Lord. Nobody. What a tragedy. You know, the sad part today in America is that the Lord is speaking, but we're doing this, aren't we? I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Don't talk to me. Don't tell me what to do. And that's what it is. We have a need for the Word of God. We have it. We have the freedom to worship. We have the Word in our own language, as we just studied, so fascinating to look at, that all that took place for us to have this Bible tonight. And boy, we think about, we need the Word. We need the prayer life. We not only need prayer, we need discipline in that regard. We need quality time, as we talked about. These areas that we need to focus on. A prayer life that is consistent. The hardest part for me, not praying, it's consistency for me. Just praying. Consistent. And the other day, boy, I was going to come to church and do a few things, and then I try and make it a point to pray in the church building. It's not necessary, or I don't have to pray just in the church building, but I like to do that. And I got something else came up, and I didn't come to church, and I was doing something else, and it just bothered me. And I thought, man, it's not a big deal, you know. And anyway, so I got in the truck, I drove over here, just to pray. And you think that's silly, but just for me, I thought, if I don't stay consistent with it, I'm going to get behind. And I think about that. God desires our prayer life. He wants to hear us pray. You know that. But are we consistent? Oh, we need quality time. Quality time with the Lord. What does our spouse want? What does our children want? They don't want anything. Well, maybe they do want something fancy, but they want quality time, right? I want to just spend time with you. I just want to talk to you. I just want to sit down and talk with you. Oh, can I also encourage you with the time with your family around the Word of God and prayer? And just sitting at the kitchen table or maybe at the couch or around the living room, just asking me, what do you think about this in the Word of God? Well, how has God spoken to you lately in this regard? And usually they'll go, what? But what are you just trying to get them to think? I've been trying with our kids lately, trying to get them to think about. And I try to ask the question, hey, what do you think God wants you to do? And they'll go, wait, what? I don't know. But I'm just trying to get them to think. What do you think God wants you to do? Oh, I didn't really think about asking him. Oh, don't we need that? We can do some things. And let me close out here. How can I truly pursue God? What's a good plan for me? Well, again, pick a pattern, pick a place, pick a plan. Meaning same time, same place, same thing. If you have that opportunity, pick a place. Pick a time. This is the time I'm going to spend with the Lord. And by the way, your loved ones will understand if you set a time. Hey, this is the time I'm going to spend with the Lord. And for maybe some of us, after the shock of them hearing that and getting them up off the ground, oh, wait, what? But that's for me. I told my wife the other night, honey, I'm gonna pray in the office, okay? And so don't. She said, you're gonna what? I said, I'm gonna pray in the office. Can a brother pray, man? But I'm kidding with you. You know that. Pick a time and a place. You know, thinking about that, preparing your heart, confessing any known sin, reading a passage with purpose, and saying, God speak, thy servant heareth. A good idea. We think of adoration, praising God, singing prayer. I'm just giving you some ideas with your time with the Lord. Adoration. Expect transformation. I like that. Transformation. Change me, Lord. Use me. Know my heart, as the psalmist says. Communication. That comes back to our truly seeking and asking Him. You know, giving God our needs. He knows what you need, but He wants to hear you ask. Isn't that fascinating? Fascinating. He wants to hear it. Sometimes and usually, I don't get what I am desirous for because I didn't simply ask. Oh, what a joy. Meditate. Journaling truth. Learn from God. And then lastly, let me say application. Application is so, so necessary, obviously. We need to apply it. Not just read it, but apply it. I have the quote here from a famous man, a missionary, George Mueller. You may have heard him before. Ran a fantastic, his primary ministry was that of orphanage, and he ran several orphanages, but he was utterly dependent upon God. Listen to this quote. He says, the point is this, I saw more clearly than ever that the first great and primary business to which I ought to attend every day was to have my soul happy in the Lord. I like that. The first primary goal of me every day, have my soul happy in the Lord. Is it happy? Is it right with Him? Is it where it's supposed to be? Are you focused on those things? Okay? Now, I'll stop there for tonight, but just thinking about our pursuit for God. I love the psalmist. I'm panting after, I'm thirsting after the Lord God. Boy, again, that's easy to say, hard to do, but we can do it. God's provided. The provisions are there. We have all that we need to pursue God. And sadly, one day I'll stand before Christ and He'll say, why didn't you? And I'll give some excuse. You know, I'll try and come up with something. Well, in front of the Lord, we'll have no excuse, but I'll come up with something, you know. And the sad fact is that I just didn't prioritize it. I just didn't prioritize my time with the Lord. My pursuit of Him. What are you pursuing today? What are you pursuing? I hope that you're pursuing Him. I printed out just a little handout here, and you could just maybe stick it in the flyleaf of your Bible or something. But I put here, it's the 20 tips for developing your walk with the Lord. And it's just, I think is a little something helpful. Maybe it'll encourage you with your time with him. I'll let you look at that on your own, but just throw that in your maybe Bible or something like that. Just some tips I thought were pretty practical as I was reading through it. I thought were real helpful, you know. And I'd encourage you to maybe implement some of those and look at them. And maybe tomorrow morning or this evening or whenever you spend time with the Lord, just run through that. Look that over. And sometimes it's helpful to get out of a rut or routine if you're like me. I get into a routine and I sometimes get so dry and I wonder why. Mix it up a little bit. Try something of something else. Maybe try one of these a week. Implement something like that. Eh? I think it'll be a help to you. All right? Anyways, praise God for you. Again, thank you for your faithfulness and for your love for the Lord. I know, as I say this each week, I know I'm preaching to the choir, but we do need this encouragement in this area. And if we're going to see more folks come and we're going to reach more people, we've got to be where we need to be. I know I do, especially in this area. But I'd encourage you with that. Again, my friends, would you please take time this week, spend it in your Bibles in prayer time, and you will not regret 1 minute that you did. All right? Okay. Let's pray tonight, Lord. Thank you again for this opportunity to gather around your word. I've said things tonight. I don't want to assume everybody knows these things, and I apologize for doing that often, but Lord, that we do know most of this, and I know myself especially needs help in these areas. Fathers, I seek to know you more and pursue after you in a greater and more closer regard, Lord, closer way. I pray you'd help me, help all of us. And God, I just thank you so much for the faithfulness of these folks here tonight. And I praise you for each of them. As we mentioned in prayer this evening, that life is so short and we don't realize that sometimes. And I just thank you that, Lord, we can come together once again on a Sunday to worship you, praise you, and lift you up. And Lord, because we're here tonight, I believe wholeheartedly you're going to bless us this week. You're going to take care of us. You're going to bless our families. You're going to watch over us. And God, we take that very seriously. And we do have a healthy fear of God here in our church. We also plead for the Holy Spirit to work in the midst of our families. Be with our marriages, Father. Protect our marriages. Strengthen us, Lord. As we individually grow closer to you, we automatically grow closer to each other. In our marriages, we know that. Help us to do that. Help our children, Lord. I pray for them as they grow, as they watch us as parents. Help the grandparents represented here tonight and everyone here, Lord. I pray you'd guide us this week. Watch over us. Bring us back, if you will, on Wednesday, Lord. We thank you again. How we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.